No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95, WRJMLP, Coleman. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. This is Danielle in studio tonight with Blake West. How are you, Blake?
I'm great. Good to be here, Danielle. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, always. You're always welcome. Well, Melvin's in the hayfield tonight, and as our commercial says, this is sponsored by local attorney Melvin Hastings. So he's hard at work rolling the hay and baling it and getting it in the barn for the winter for all the cows.
I used to do that, and then I went to law school.
Well, what happened to him? He went to law school, too.
I got to do it Sunday for a few hours. I was not baling. I was bush hogging for a good friend of mine who had a bad injury and needed some help around the farm. And so I went over and did some mowing for him for a few hours.
Awesome. It always makes you feel so good when you do something for someone else.
Oh, yeah, that part did. I was thinking, I know why I'm not doing this now.
Yeah, how long has it been since you've been on a tractor?
I didn't even want to count up the years. It's been a long time.
So you're backfilling better and you're back in action?
Oh, yes. I'm going to recommend against kidney stones. If anyone is thinking of kidney stones, I'm going to suggest you avoid that.
Absolutely.
It was not fun. But I did meet a new guy, and maybe you could have him on a Thursday night or something.
Okay.
A new doctor, Dr. Wallin, W-A-L-L-I-N. He's brand new to Coleman. I was patient number one for him.
Urologist?
Yes. Super,
gotcha.
Super guy, you know, fairly young. I mean, yeah, compared to me anyway. A nice guy helped me and it was not fun, but you get through it and you go on.
Mm-hmm. I always used Parker Davis.
Well, I had never had to have anything, and he was brand new, and I was at the hospital helping someone else, talking to some of the hospital staff, and who I have known a long time. They said, "Blake, you don't look good. Are you okay?" I said, "Well, I've got this kidney stone I'm trying to get rid of." "Oh, hey, we've got this brand new guy coming. You should go see him."
Interesting.
So I did, and he was super nice, and I went back for my follow-up, and, you know, being the good Coleman person in Southern, you have to take something, right? So I took Duchess donuts.
Of course, because, you know, you can't pass up Duchess donuts.
He called me that afternoon to tell me about some other test result, and he said, "I've had four of those already."
Oh, my word. No, you told him where it's located, right?
And he's a thin man.
He's a thin man.
Yeah, I said, "Hey, whoa, hey, Doc, four of those is the limit." I said, "More than that, you'll start getting sick." I said, "I know from experience."
Mm.
So you need to stop at four. Four is a good number of Duchess. But they are amazing.
Well, I'm a hairdresser by trade, and I worked at Hair Works when I first started out. And every single morning, Mark Puddles would have me go to Duchess Bakery and get donuts. So we started every morning out with donuts and coffee. And believe me, it is a tough habit to break. Once you start doing it,
I don't want to.
It becomes dangerous.
You know, when Brandy and them, when you walk in and they know you by name and know what you want, it's not necessarily the best thing.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But it's just always fun to go there, and their stuff is just delicious, so I enjoy it.
Oh, they're fabulous.
And I enjoy giving them away to people who haven't had them.
Our phone lines are open with any law question. Blake is equipped to answer it tonight. It's 256-737-9505. Feel free to call. They will be open throughout the show. Blake, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, partially in honor of me working on the farm this weekend and Melvin being farming, I've presented this a couple of times as a new seminar that I do on keeping the farm and the family. And because I grew up on a family farm, and it was important to me. I don't do it now because it's pretty hard to make a living doing it on a small scale as we did. And so then I went to Auburn and law school, and so I'm doing other things. But the family farm still has a special place in my life, and I appreciate the people who do that and have many friends and family members who still farm and carry on that way of living. And some people kind of straddle both, like Melvin, Tommy Drake, you know, they do a little farm stuff, do some law and do some other things. So family farm is important. And I had a few people who had some family farm things and questions. And so I developed a little program and a little scheme, and I presented it, two or three times. And I thought we'd talk about that tonight because we have a lot of farmers in this area and a lot of people whose families farm.
Absolutely.
So I thought we would talk about that because it presents a few special challenges other than you and I living in the city and passing on our stuff to our children, family, charities, whomever we want to benefit. Because if you're on the farm, people want to keep it in the family because it may have already been there three or four generations.
Right.
I've had some with fifth or sixth generation on the same land. So you're really attached to that, and you want to know, how can I keep this going? What can I do? And some people maybe want to twist the arms of the kids a little bit, you know. I want to keep the farm going.
Mm-hmm.
And have some people who have three kids. Well, one child wants to continue farming. The other two have gone to college and they're doing other things, maybe moved out of state, doing different things. And, well, I don't want to leave them out, but how can I arrange things to allow this to continue to be a family farm? Like, that's what I want to do. And there's lots of things that you can do. And one of the best ways is to use a trust. And so I've talked to several people about that, and I've helped, let's see, so far about four or five people kind of under this plan of a trust. And then if you're still actively farming, the farming part would be under an LLC. Because there's a lot of litigation and there's so many things. And well, you've seen on the news all these crazy things in our food that maybe we dealt with when I was young and you were younger, much younger. But if so, we didn't have it on the news. I mean, do you remember any of those salmonella killing 40 people at a restaurant anywhere years ago?
I'm from a farming family, and my parents are produce brokers,
mm-hmm.
Wholesale and retail, and I grew up that way. So,
did y'all ever have anybody die from E. coli or salmonella?
Not that I'm aware of. And listen, that would have been locally because, you know, we sold watermelons right there on 222. So, you know.
Right. But now things happen. I don't know if is it the farmers who are contaminating it? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so. But it gets there somewhere. And with the way things are tracked now, if your family produces watermelon that ends up in the grocery store and they chop it up and sell it to you, you know, for this little package mm-hmm. for $8 instead of the whole watermelon for two.
I got you.
and it makes you sick. They're going to go, well, this came from Karn's farm here, baby. Mm-hmm. We got to come back. We're going to go, what are y'all doing out there? And so you can expose yourself unintentionally and not by fault to some liability because you're putting products in the chain of commerce and things happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
and people sometimes have a bad outcome. So I encourage farmers to protect themselves, just like other businesses do. You have incorporations, LLCs. Other people do that, so farmers should do that too. You don't need to put your family farm at risk because of something someone else may do.
And so you created this not just for like produce farmers or cattle farmers, chicken farmers.
Any type of farmers. I had a strange request, and I had presented this in Greensboro, Alabama, in Hale County, to a bunch of small ruminant, i.e. goat farmers.
Goat farmers.
Yes, they sell, and I have, we raised some goats at time, from a couple of times growing up, and not commercially. We raised them for a little while. We sold a few, killed a few to eat, mostly had them to clean up a rough patch of kudzu and weeds and stuff, because they'll eat most anything.
Cans.
But these people have a, it's kind of a higher end market in not much in Alabama, but in several places. And so they have family farms and lower income, smaller, but still need that protection, especially because they're putting meat in the stream of people eating it somewhere else. And so you have all those problems. It gets handled more than at the farm. So they typically sell the goats live. But by the time they're slaughtered, prepared, cooked, eaten, things happen to them. But if it kills some people, lawyers like Melvin, me, Tommy, all of us, Champ, everybody, going to be looking for somebody at fault. And you don't want that to interfere with the family farm, because it's a business, and it should be treated like a separate business. It uses the land. It is not. It's a separate. It needs to be a separate entity from the land. It uses it, but it's not tied with it. It shouldn't be. Because if something happens to the business, you want to keep the land for more generations.
Right.
And to keep doing things. You want to have that available. And you can think of it as someone who drives a commercial vehicle or a truck. He has an accident and hurts people. Well, he loses that truck, but he doesn't quit being a truck driver necessarily.
Right.
So you and people get injured on farms. We've all, not as much lately, but when I was growing up, people got hurt on farms all the time.
If not killed.
And killed. A classmate, when I was a senior, died on a hay baling deal. It's terrible. So you want to have those protections. Not that you're going to be reckless, but you want to have those protections just in case. And doing some structures with that is a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is a good plan. And
so tell me how they get started. What?
Well, I don't have a seminar scheduled on the farm yet, but I probably will do one soon.
Awesome.
And we'll advertise on the new
One Stop for Coleman.
And those other places on Facebook and other places, and sometimes on the Shopper's Guide and different things like that. And the first one I hosted out at the Agriplex,
mm-hmm.
out by the bowling alley. Great facility out there. Great folks out there who help farming. Rachel Dalsey does a great job managing that place. I've been to two or three events out there, and they help school children and help teach farming and help show people farming who haven't seen farming. So keep that place, and it's a great place to visit for people and a great resource for our community.
Right.
But we'll have something, and or if you just have questions, people call up, make an appointment, and come in. And we talk about, we start off talking about what your family is. What do you have? Where do you want it to go when you're gone? What do you want to happen to it? And then you get people, retiring. We can't farm until we die, usually. Because farming's hard work.
It is.
So we're either going to need help farming, we need kids to come in and farm. But should the farmer give up all resources for that? No.
No, I don't think so.
No, the farmer can own the land and have at least, even if it's to a child, to an LLC, then that LLC should pay something for the use of the land.
Right.
Whether it's growing produce, watermelons, cows, crops, hay, whatever it is, some part of that money should come back to the land or the landowner. Even if the farmer is older, wants to slow down a little bit, and just like the past few days, it's hot in Alabama.
Ooh, it was hot today.
It's hot, and you know, you're 75, maybe you need to slow down a step. But some people don't want to because they want to keep the farm going. Mm-hmm. Well, this gives other options to do that. And also, it's good to have a plan in case you become maybe not totally incompetent, a little bit incompetent, physically or mentally, not making good decisions, not able to get out there and take care of your cows, an injury like my friend. You need some things in place to be able to help you out and so that you can get help, so that you're thinking about these things ahead of time. Because if you have no plans and a big emergency comes up, you have a stroke. I mean, we see that all the time. And you have a stroke and then you can't work on the farm for 3 months, or you can't ever go back to work on the farm. You know, it's easier to plan. I say vertical planning. It's easier to plan when you're walking around and standing up. If you're in a hospital bed or a nursing home bed, lying flat, or worst of all, at the funeral home, it's hard to do horizontal planning. Mm-hmm. It's not the best time. Vertical planning is much more efficient.
So we do have a vast amount of farmers in Coleman County. You know, we do throughout Alabama, but, you know, our primary source of farming here in Coleman is poultry.
Oh, yes. Coleman is by far the leader in the Alabama in agricultural income.
Mm-hmm.
More, I mean, so much more than anyone else. It's hard to comprehend how much more it is.
Well, I remember when the tornadoes came through and all the chicken houses that were destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
And the loss of the amount of chickens. I know I read an article about how many chickens were lost, and I was like, I cannot believe so many chickens were lost in Coleman County. But then when you think about it, we are the primary chicken farmers.
At the same, we had an ice storm in 88, I believe it was 88. And I was working in the poultry industry then. And I forgot how many chicken houses were destroyed by the ice storm. 100 and something.
Mm-hmm. They just weren't prepared. Like, you know, now we...
Not built for six inches of ice.
True.
It's hard to build things for that here. But, yeah, destroyed... My memory is 140-something chicken houses.
Wow.
But there were still chicken houses everywhere. So, gives you an idea of how many we have. But all of those things have special... special issues, special problems that need to be looked at and addressed before you get there.
And I want to go back to the beginning where you were talking about families. Family heritage in farming means a whole lot because that is what their basis is from.
Absolutely.
It's from generation to generation. And I know because I come from a farming family. And, you know, my grandpa was a farmer. My dad was a farmer. I grew up farming.
Right.
I don't do that now, but I can. I grow a heck of a garden. So I enjoy doing that. It's therapy for me now.
Right.
You know, then when I was younger, it was work, you know. And
yes, it was a lot like work.
Yes. Yeah. And I was also wanting to bring up, I know we're fixing to go to commercial, but I also want to bring up the values that it teaches. I know you're on the law side of safety plan for the farmer, but generation to generation, it teaches values and work ethic.
Oh, yes. That's having Brooks, that's one of my bigger concerns is keeping something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up on the farm, like you, I'm sure there was always
something
to do. if Daddy came home and you were not working, and he would often tell me when I was a little bit older, you know, 7th, 8th grade, if you can't find something to do, I'll find you something to do.
I can hear my dad saying that right now.
So it was usually better for me to find the chore and be busy and work. You know, we worked till dark every day.
And, you know, it's always so cooler in the morning. So most farmers work early in the morning or late in the evening because it is cooler at that time, especially in Alabama when we have these temperatures like we've had today. It's excruciating out there.
My dad just believed in working all day.
Yeah, so sun up to sundown.
Right, huh? We'd start pretty early, and then we'd go till dark. But it taught a lot. It was a good life. There's no regrets by any means.
I don't either. This is Danielle with Understanding the Law with local attorney Blake West. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment on Live 95.5, Coleman's Independent Radio.
You're invited to the Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. Hear pastors such as Oney Cooper of Restoration Church in Hansville, Dana Sarver of Church on the Rock in Barre, Kentucky, Jenny Poupre of Faith Restoration Church in Hansville, and Lisa Jones of New Ground Fellowship in Coleman. This is a women's conference, but men are invited to attend. Enjoy praise and worship by Oney Cooper Jr. and Band. Come expecting a mighty move of God. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center. For more information, call 256-338-2245. 256-338-2245. The Awake and Arise Women's Conference, Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at the Coleman Civic Center.
I read a blog today from a runner who said he noticed a difference when he smiled and nodded and gave thumbs up to drivers who passed him while he was running. He said the difference was significant. When he expressed a little acknowledgement, he could sense it being sent back. I think it might be time to realize that this observation is true in every circumstance, whether it be relationships, customer service, leadership, or parenting. When we acknowledge and show respect and kindness for others, it comes back. It comes back in a lot of different ways. Sometimes in thanks, sometimes in improved behavior, but most of the time in kindness return. It's a wonderful circle that should never be broken. What we have learned is simple. Thoughtfulness given leads to thoughtfulness returned. Kindness shared leads to kindness received. Give it a try. It'll come back to you, and it'll make your world a little kinder. I'm Ed Harrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law.
Welcome back. This is Danielle with Understanding the Law. Tonight I have the pleasure of having Blake West in studio. Melvin is out in the hayfield, so we are actually covering an interesting topic that I'm very, you know, excited about is farming. Farming in our community is so important. The call-in line is still open, and it will remain open until 6:55. So it's 256-737-9505, and you're more than welcome to call in. Well, Blake, I know during the commercial we talked about that you are going to do a seminar and you're going to set that up, and I'm going to help you advertise it and get it out there. So
yeah, I had one, and just, we had good attendance, and then people liked it, and I want to do it again. And that was just before I started getting sick with the kidney stone stuff, and then so it's been. I was out of commission for about a month with that. Most of it was terrible. I like doing the seminars. People come in, they get a chance to learn. It's free. There's no pressure. And if something I say, you know, you think this is something that, well, that might help me, then you can come in and we'll talk about it and get you a plan set up that's personalized and set up that meets your needs and your family's needs and what you want.
I want to ask you a question about, has this ever perked your interest before? I know you were prompted by, a client's interest in covering themselves and their farm. But have you thought along these lines before in your profession?
I haven't done a lot of work just for farmers. I mean, I've had several things where I've helped farmers do this and that and was able to use some of my knowledge, not legal knowledge, but from growing up on a farm, chicken farm, helping people understand some of the problems that they were having and what the legal situation was, which is not always what makes common sense sometimes. Most of the time it is, but not all the time. And so it's a little bit, but not much until I don't even recall now what exactly happened, but I think it was a client in, and she needed to protect her farm. Been on the farm for several generations, you know, a couple hundred acres, and want to try to keep it in the family. And we addressed her desires. Her husband died several years ago, and I had hauled hay for them when I was young, growing up, you know. Like one of her desires is, well, what if we put this in a trust, but what if one of my grandkids wants to move back to the farm? You know, what happens there? So we make arrangements in there that property can be gifted to descendants. You know, not the whole thing, but a small amount, whatever would be appropriate for a house, an acre, 2 acres, whatever, and we put protections in there that if it's ever sold, the family gets the first shot to buy it. You know, different things. A lot of different things. Whatever that person wants, we could build in those protections.
So it's a personal preference of how you want to set it up.
Oh, it's it can be personalized. What a trust, one way to describe a trust, and a lot of people think trusts are for rich people. Trusts are for many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
A trust is just your own rule book about what will happen to you, your stuff, when you're incapacitated, incompetent, or when you're gone. And the state has a rule book that's called the code, the probate code. And it's a one-size-fits-all because it's there for people who don't do their own.
Mm-hmm.
The state says, we've got these rules here, and if you don't write your own, you use these. But you know what? If you want to, you can just write your own, and that'll be fine. And that's called a trust. And a trust is a lot more efficient way now of processing your assets in case of incompetency, dementia, Alzheimer's, those kind of things. And it can protect it from the nursing home.
Right.
And a lot of farmers have that big, okay, I've worked my whole life, my parents worked, my grandparents worked, we've all got this farm built up and paid off, and if something happens and I have to go to the nursing home, I'm going to lose it all. No, we can fix that.
So that's going to fall in the line of keeping your personal information private.
Oh, yes. Probate court is a court of public record. Now, 10 years ago, 20 years ago and further, it was a cumbersome to look at someone's probate file. More and more things are being online. You don't even have to go down to the probate office.
True.
You can just say, hey, what you know, I want to see it, and you can just call it up on your computer. And it not being private can create a lot of problems. I've had several families whose parent, one parent died, the other parent remarried. And maybe remarried is not the right word, because they were subject of a gold digger.
I see.
Because you have all these things online, you know, all of a sudden, hey, there's Danielle, she's single, she's got, her husband died, her mama died, whoever died. Ooh, look at what she's getting. Ooh, I need to go visit her. Danielle, I'm so sorry about that loss. Can I bring you some supper?
That'll be even my parents.
You need help hoeing that garden?
Mm.
You know, and it builds into something, but the person is not, the other person is interested in money.
Absolutely.
And people think it doesn't happen. I talked to one lady. She was so distraught about what happened to her father. This lady met her. She didn't know her. She's at the lady's funeral, this lady's mother's funeral. And this lady she doesn't know is walking around and talking to people, kind of being friendly, but she says, hey, listen, I'm looking for somebody to get married to. So if you have any good candidates, you know, somebody whose wife's died and, you know, just I'm looking for somebody to get married to. Well, this lady was in her 50s, which now is not that old, but the gentleman whose wife died was almost 80.
Wow.
So she ended up marrying this lady's father that she just told, basically, hey, I'm looking for a sugar daddy. Do you see any? Married her father, and it was awful, awful. She ended up with most of the guy's money, and more importantly, he ended up dying unhappily.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw what was happening to him, and he just couldn't bring himself to stop some things. And so getting, you know, people having information about you that you don't want them to have is not good.
Mm-mm. And it's so easily accessible. I mean, it is.
It is.
And, you know, so, those of us that are computer savvy.
Anything we can do to keep some of that private. And it's also, I have some folks, some young girls, and somebody died, leaving them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very young, so they're not going to be able to access it right away. But if their so-called friends find out that they have a lot of money, how do you think that's going to affect them? People are going to be wanting to borrow money. Other relatives, all sorts of people are going to be coming to these when they get of age. Hey, can I borrow some money? I know you got some money. Can I borrow some money? I need some money. Can you help me? I've got this business idea. Can you help me? And it's just there's no benefit to that person for other people knowing his or her business.
Right.
So a trust helps keep that private.
So, tell me how initiating this plan in your life can assist in minimizing your income taxes.
Maybe income taxes is one. Capital gain tax is a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people want to, they get older, they want to retire. I want to give my farm to Danielle. And Danielle's sitting there going, hey, thanks, guys. Yes, I'll be glad to take it. And that's not a bad thing. But then parents are gone. Danielle's not going to be a farmer again, a complete farmer. You've got lots of other things going. So then you're like, you know, I don't want to see that land sit there and just nothing. I'd like to see somebody farm it, so I'm going to sell it. All right, so you sell it, and it's been handed down, so that your parents' basis in it is probably about zero, meaning what they spent for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you sell it. Let's say you sell it for $250,000. Well, all of that $250,000 is profit. So that means 20% goes you know where, which is $50,000. That'd be an ugly check to write when you sold that property.
It would.
When Mark's out doing the closing and he says, well, Danielle, I'm going to have to keep this 50 for and taxes. You go, what? You say, but if it went into a trust, you got it after your parents were gone. You get what's called the step up in basis. So you would take it at a value of $250,000. Then if you sold it for $250,000, there's no profit. And if there's no profit to you, there's no capital gain.
There we go.
So there's no tax. So that is a way that wealthier people have built wealth, is by smartly transferring things at death to avoid capital gain taxes. Now, the laws, this is my opinion, and you know my opinion of some politicians, it's not always the best, but the laws are written for people who have more than we have, generally. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the laws, I can use them to benefit many, many people that we would consider very middle class here by using the same laws and the same techniques that wealthy people use. The laws are there on the books for our benefit. Let's use them to keep money in our family and away from the government.
And it doesn't cost any more money for the rich or for the middle class or for the poor. It's all the same across the board.
Right.
So you're utilizing something that, you know, is made for everyone.
Yes.
And not just one single class of people.
It's there, and I had a family who had quite a bit of money, wanted to do a trust, and they say, well, they're asking me questions about how much it's going to cost and these sorts of things, and they said, well, you haven't asked us how much money we have. I said, no. I said, if you've got more than total assets of more than $250,000, I said, as long as it's less than $11 million, which is the current estate tax exemption, well, 5.5 each, and if it's a couple, that couple can die and leave $11 million without any estate tax currently. I said, if it's between those two numbers, it's really not going to matter. And he was surprised. He said, well, why not? I said, well, just because you've got a lot more money, I'm going to do the same things. I said, now, if I give you the bill and you want to pay me extra, I will accept it.
Amen to that.
I will cash that check. But, you know, it's the same amount of work. It's the same things. The same rules apply. So sometimes it's, and because of that, sometimes it's a little more pricey for people that just barely need a trust. But, you know, those things are always negotiable.
So let's talk about allowing your children who want to leave a farm to be included in their inheritance.
So that's a hard one.
Let's cover that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Like, you've left the farm.
I have, but I still have ties to the farm.
Right. But you're not going to farm.
No, but I'd be smart enough to lease it out.
Right. But that's the thing. What if you've got a sister there who says, I'm going to farm?
I'd let her farm.
Y'all leave Danielle out. Leave the farm to me. You know, just leave me the land. I'll farm it. They're like, well, I mean, obviously we like you better, but we don't want to leave Danielle out. You know, just because she's not here, we don't want to leave her out. So what can you do? That goes back to the trust. The trust owns the property. It leases it out to sister, who farms it, raises watermelons, raises tomatoes, whatever is the hot crop this year, makes money, pays rent for the land and use of the barns and the equipment and all the other things. Well, when your parents are gone, then that rent, that profit comes to you. So you're not left out. Now, are you getting to sell the property? No. But your parents say, no, I don't want that. I don't want it sold. I want it to be a farm. But they're not leaving you out. She would get to profit by her work, which is good. Mm-hmm. She's putting in all the work. You shouldn't get half of the farm profit because you're not there. You're doing these things.
True.
So, but you shouldn't be left out because parents almost never want to leave anyone out. They want to include everyone. So this way you can keep people included who are not farming. You can keep people included who have moved out of state, who are engineers in Huntsville, and don't farm. And you still keep, and it also keeps a, I see people do these things, and it also keeps a sense of family. Mm-hmm. Because if your parents said, well, Danielle's moved to town, and she's doing this other stuff, we're just going to leave the farm here. then you gives you separation. You're not still tied there a little bit. Even if you're not farming, you still have some ties there. And if we set it up like I have done before, another 10 years, you go, you know what? I want to move back out to the farm. Mm-hmm. I want to move back out to 222 and get out of town a little bit.
And I would.
Then it's set up that you can get an acre, 2 acres, whatever amount of property you need to build a house and have a nice yard. And that would just be a gift from the, that could be a gift from the trust. And so we set it up that way. If you have, your children want to move out there, you know, all the way down the line, and those things can still be made available.
I really think that this is very interesting that you brought this to the table today, because I don't think people think along these lines.
Well, no, it's people. People think about doing it, but getting down to getting it done is just a little different. I mean, it took me several months to come up with a good, solid plan to include all of the different little pieces that I needed to include. I put a lot of time and thought into how to write the trust and how to structure the businesses and to do all those things. And it was fun. I enjoyed it, and and I've enjoyed helping the people I've been able to help so far. And everyone who has a farm has been very receptive to it because it's a good plan that covers just about everybody, all the needs that people like your parents would have, and people who have family farms.
Right. I was very fortunate to have it on both sides, both sets of my grandparents. And
yeah?
Yeah. And then I got it from both sides.
Right.
So I've been very fortunate.
One of my grandfathers was a carpenter. And so they didn't own, they owned a house and, you know, an acre or so. And then my other grandparents and my parents owned, we, I don't know, 80, 90 acres. So it was a contrast. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot from my carpenter grandpa too.
I grew up here and I grew up in Florida, mm-hmm. but actually was born in Red Bay, Alabama.
Oh, in Red Bay.
So
close to absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. beautiful, beautiful country.
Yes.
You know, a little small, quirky town.
Yeah.
It's a bird sanctuary. And it's my great-grandmother, she lived to be 109.
Wow.
So, you know,
wow,
the lineage is there.
Wow. 109.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was very fortunate to have her in my life growing up.
Right.
And a lot of people don't get to be, they get their grandparents, but they don't get their great-grandparents.
Oh, my son, you've seen Brooks. Darla's mother's still alive, but both my parents died many years ago. All of my grandparents died before Brooks. So he's got one grandma. Mm-hmm. No great grandmas, no nothing besides that. So it's a contrast to what you and I were raised with. So we have pictures of my parents and grandparents, and we talk about them sometimes. And
so he knows who they are. That's important.
He knows, and my brother still lives out there where we had the family farm. So we go see him occasionally, and we talk about things.
Mm-hmm. And Dad gets on the tractor every now and then, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. But I was glad to give Tommy a hand. And he had a bad injury and needed a little help. And so it's good. It's always, and that's another thing about our area and farming is people are always there to help. I mean, while I was out with my sickness, you know, several people called and said, hey, do you need help? Do you need somebody to mow your yard? And I didn't, because my nephew, Ross, mows my yard, because I have terrible allergies. So he kept the yard mowed. And but just living in a community and being part of that, where people offer to come do free labor for you.
Oh, yeah.
That means, you know, that means a lot.
It really does.
Means a lot to be here and have those people in your lives. And to me, almost all that goes back to farming. Even though some of the people who offered to come help weren't farmers and hadn't farmed in their whole lifetimes, but still being in this culture of family farms, it's just a culture that wants to help other people. Mm-hmm. And so I want to keep those things going.
So I have an off-the-wall question. And the trust, is the trust enforced after it's, after all the paperwork's done and everything's agreed upon and it's laid out and it's signed? Is it enforced by you, or is it enforced by a family member?
It's been enforced by the family and the trustees.
And how is a trustee appointed? Is that by family choice?
Well, we're talking about the family farm, so let's use your parents again. Your parents would choose the trustees.
Thank you.
And they get to, the property's not, in a legal sense, doesn't belong to them anymore in the trust. But the trust is controlled by the trustees, and guess who the first two trustees are? The parents.
It'd have to be.
So they are still, because some people, and this is a normal thing, you've worked for this your whole life. You don't want to give up control. With a trust, you don't give up control. You're still in control. Danielle runs off and she decides to move to San Francisco and has lost her mind.
Which could happen.
We'd cut her out. Let cut her out. Mm-mm. No, we ain't giving any money to anybody living out there in that place. Mm-mm. Cut her out. And they can still do that.
Okay.
They can still do that the whole time.
So they still have control, even though it's in a controlled environment, basically.
Yes, they still in control, just like Walmart is operated by a board of directors. The trust is operated by the trustees, which would be primarily the two of them. Now, when they're gone, then children or other relatives or sometimes corporate people, finance people, would step in to be trustees.
I see.
And enforce the rules.
Well, I think that was a good question to answer, to ask and to answer, because, I worded it a little bit different.
The control is the key. People want to be in control.
They do.
But if I can... It's almost like having your cake and eating it too. Mm-hmm. I have my land and I'm in control of it. But if something happens to me, I have to go to the nursing home, I become incompetent or something, I can't lose it.
True.
So it's a really good plan. And when I pass it down, if my children, who I would come and haunt, sell it, at least they don't have to give any of the money to the government in the form of capital gain taxes. So it's a good plan. It works for a lot of people, and it can be adjusted to fit just about any type of farm. I've done one for someone who raises cows, the small ruminants, goats, chicken farm, and one that's kind of a blended set of everything. So it can be adjusted and accommodate lots of different type of farms and a lot of different type of family situations.
Well, I sure hope that this has been very informative to you. I appreciate, Blake, for you coming in tonight and spreading this. Blake will be developing a seminar, and I will be promoting it on One Stop for Coleman. And I cannot wait for the farmers to check into this, because I think this will help answer a lot of questions and help them with the trust to provide for their families in the future.
I hope so, and I appreciate you calling. And it was interesting that we got together this week after me revisiting my farming roots. Melvin out there on his tractor, maybe he's listening, and You know, it happened at just the right time. So,
yeah.
So I appreciate the invitation.
He's jamming to some Kiss. So let me take a minute and say our Coleman Live 95.5 show on Thursday night, September the 20th. We'll have Christopher Greer. We'll have a gospel group in called Genesis. They're all local. Derek Sherrill will be here. We're looking forward to a great show. Understanding the Law will return next Tuesday. I believe Chip Crocker's going to be here, and I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for joining us on Understanding the Law tonight. At 7 o'clock, Joshin' Around, he's up next. This is Danielle with Live 95.5, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, with Understanding the Law. We'll be back next Tuesday. Thank you.